So I just like, do I talk about introducing it all?
No, just say hi, I'm Teddy Swims. Yeah, hi, I'm Teddy Swims, and okay. It would help. I mean, you can say hi, I'm Lenny Kravitz if you want, but
yeah,
don't do that.
I'm Jake. right now.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Teddy Swims.
Teddy Swims time. Hello. Welcome to the next episode of Introducing. How you going? This guy is massive. I had no idea. Who knew the internet could blow people up? It all started with a little cover of a Michael Jackson song, 4 years ago? And the rest is history. Now he's in Australia for the second time. Poor bloke, though. Teddy Swims, this is. Last time he was in Australia, the Queen died. And then this time when he was here, the Matildas were all everyone was talking about. So everyone was very distracted. They've always been distracted when Teddy's in town. And hopefully now you can not be distracted and you have a listen to his new record. It's out today. His debut album is out today. I've tried everything but therapy, in brackets, part one. This boy is so sweet. He's got tattoos from head to toe. He'll tell us about his first tat at 16. Why his mum cried and said, why would you do this to me? And also why he's described as a genre-bending artist. In fact, even Rolling Stone said he's an artist you need to know. So I'm doing my good deed by introducing you now to Teddy Swims. Lift the roll. Push your pull. Lovely to meet you.
Yeah, lovely to meet you.
This is your second time in Australia, isn't it?
Yeah, we were here back in like September, so not even been all of a year. So I'm really excited.
I know most people from your part of the world don't come out here like once every two decades.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I love it here. I think, and when we first started doing, you know, conferences and stuff 4 years ago now, Australia was the first people that really started. And it's still one of my biggest audiences. And
is that right? Are we really?
Yes. And I just a different love here. And last time I got here, I felt kind of robbed from the experience because there was just a lot going on and with the Queen passing. And so I didn't really get to, there was just a lot of mourning and not so much like me getting to see everyone.
Were we too busy mourning for you?
Not for me.
No, I know.
I would be like a,
No. Oh, I'm sorry, but we, but I didn't realize we were that. I mean, I know we took it seriously and stuff, but I can't believe we weren't polite to you when you were out here last.
But yeah, everything kind of was just, you know, so I didn't really get to see a lot of things. And
yes. And
I wanted to make sure this time around too that we got to like, I got to see more things, because last time it was just like you get to see like outside the venue, you know, a little bit, and then like, oh wow, what a pretty city. So I'm getting to really experience cities and have some special time to walk around and look.
What have you noticed? What's your thing now that we've stopped mourning the Queen? what have you noticed about us this time? What do you like about it?
Well, and then I'll give you all the compliments. Extremely good mood this time around.
Yeah, of course,
because
we are.
Because the ladies are going to go to the finals.
Oh, that's right.
Tonight they're going to. Am I allowed to say a curse word?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
They're going to whip some ass.
And, is that a curse word? Is it?
I don't know. I don't know.
We could say whip some fucking ass if you want.
Yeah, fucking right. Yeah, they're going to kick ass, and it's a great time. Everybody's in great spirits, and I just hope that you know. Matilda's kick ass.
I'm glad your gigs are up. I mean, you've actually timed these beautifully, right? Because I know Luke Combs has a show tonight.
Yeah.
Pretty much out near the stadium where the game's on. So the game's happening where, I mean, last time 5-6 million people watched it on TV and then the rest went to live sites. So I'm hoping for Luke Combs' sake people go to his show. But you've timed your tour perfectly because you're not doing a show tonight. And from what I can see here, you're not doing one on Sunday. So if we make the final,
then I'm there.
You've done it perfectly.
And then if we win the final, I say we like.
Oh, I like this. Yeah, I love this attitude.
That felt natural. That felt natural. But if we win that one, then everybody's going to be so stoked.
We're so stoked anyway. We'll be stoked. We're that kind of like, we're almost like this parent that's like, we're just happy that we've made it.
Yeah.
We're like walking around with big smiles on our faces. Like, look how far
that's
we've come.
Huge. Yeah,
because no one cares about soccer here normally. I mean, I can say that, but you know, we get behind a good team. Hey, I got a chance to listen to your debut album last night.
Yeah,
like a little sneak preview. And I'm not just saying this because it's the first track, but I kept going back to the first track.
Isn't it beautiful?
Some things I'll never know.
God, it's
you must be so proud, not only of that song, but of this record. This must be, I mean, because we'll get to how you started in a second and kind of why you got to be recording an album. But let's just talk about an album of your own material.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
It feels really good. And I feel like I've finally kind of gotten my, I guess, like, what I'm doing figured out, you know? And it's stuff that I feel is true to my heart and doesn't feel gimmicky and stuff I'm not sick of yet, you know? I find so much of what we do in this job is always like, if we're really, really, really lucky, we write a song that we already are sick of playing and we sing it for the next 30 years. You know what I mean? And yeah. I'm like, sometimes I have to be like, I mean, that would be an honor, but...
I guess people also think that by the time the album's out, you're done with it because it's probably been in your head for years.
Recording it. But, you know, I love the songs and I love... I feel connected to them and I feel like I don't like hate listening to myself or get that like cringing feeling anytime you hear your own voice, you know. Yeah. I mean, still always, you know, everybody hates their voice a little bit, but I'm really, really excited that about that music. And some things I'll never know, for instance, I think that song just fell out of the sky, man. I mean, of course, Sweet and Julian Brunetta and Eli, man, and I mean, it's just that whole crew I was allowed to be around during that time, and I felt like that song just was like, it was just from like God's lips straight to my ears, you know? And I just felt like I'm so fortunate that I even feel like it's too early in my career to have that kind of song. I sobbed when I first heard it and I sobbed recording it, and I still can't sing it without getting just moved to that capacity. And I've never felt that way about, only time I've ever felt that way in songs in my life have been very few songs, like I Can't Make You Love Me, for instance, or first time I heard Give You Blue by Alan Stone, or a few songs I have like that, you know, that are just like, God, I wish that was my song. And that is my song, you know, so I'm God,
well, actually, that's really interesting. Is there what song do you wish was yours? Like, what? That's pretty much me asking a grown man what their favorite song in the world is, which is generally only what 10-year-olds do.
I have a few that are just like, oh, God, why didn't I write that? There's this song by a guy named Ben Platt called Hurt Me Once. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Give You Blue by Alan Stone. I Can't Make You Love Me, obviously, Bonnie Raitt.
Yeah.
And this other song by a different Mac Ayers called Change Your Mind. And I have like all the ones that I like really moved me to that point.
Yeah.
Like,
I didn't know much about Ben Platt until I saw the show The Politician, when he sang Joni Mitchell's The River. Tell us about, you grew up in Georgia.
Yeah.
So to me, even just saying the name Georgia, like, it feels like, was it a musical place?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, I think in Georgia we have
Atlanta, Georgia.
Everything came out of there.
It feels like you have to say it in an accent too. I hope you don't get offended by that. Yeah, Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, no T in it. It's
Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah. And but everything came out of there, you know. Ray Charles, man.
Yeah.
We've had everything from soul, like James Brown, everything from Otis Redding, you know. Real soul music came from there. All of hip hop, man, Outkast, T.I., come on, everything.
So did you feel pressure, or did you feel that this was your gift, that this is what you're always going to do this? Because, I mean, you were playing football at one stage.
Yeah, sure.
But was music always just in the back of your mind going?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah? But I mean, we weren't really good at it, you know, for a while. Like, it took a while. I mean, and people ask all the time, like, when did you discover you could sing? And it wasn't just like, I was just one day like, and people were like, whoa, bro. You know, it was definitely an acquired thing that we got over time of trying, but I love it. And I'm growing up in that way. You know, I there's just so much music in Georgia, everything from country to rock to everything. The best music, I feel like, I don't want to say ever, but so many of the legacy artists.
Yeah. Well, because you've been described, I've read a lot of articles about you and interviews that you've done, and something that always seems to be the thing that everyone comes back to is they say that you're genre bending. But I feel that to me, like my record collection at home isn't just rock or just pop.
Sure.
So is that how it feels for you?
I mean, you want
to create music that's different all the time
And I totally feel like, I feel like I've learned that certain genres can kind of lend their hand to an emotion better than others. You know, when you want to like go out and hang out and party with your friends, you might throw on some this type of hip hop, or if you want to cry and get a good cry out, you might go listen to a ballad, you might listen to an Adele, you know. Or if you want to scream and be angry, like, metal's the way to go, rock and roll's the way to go, to just yell and get anger out, you know. And so I feel like there's, as a person who has all of these emotions and uses that music I listen to help me through those emotions, then I feel like I want to make that kind of music for my as somebody who has all those emotions, I just don't want my show to be something where you come and cry for 2 hours, even though
no one wants that.
Yeah, you know, but even though an hour of it, you'd probably, it would probably
100%. So, yeah, yeah, yeah. But that makes you appreciate the tears more because you've been jumping around before.
So I think they all just they lend their hands, and you know, like R&B, for instance, you can't make. There's no better love making song. Like no better like telling someone you love them and how you appreciate them in that way, you know, and telling a real lifelong story in country music. You know, you just get these ways of like, I feel like I can navigate them based off of how I want to express that emotion, you know, and the whole spectrum of the human condition is all I want to do.
So you don't kind of have an answer to know that you, when you discovered your voice, but when did you realize that? When did you start writing? When did you think that I can actually? Because I said at the start you were playing football, right?
Yeah.
This was a pretty big deal for you, football.
It sure was.
So when did then football turn into music?
Well, me and my buddy Jesse. So he's my best friend in the world, and he still plays guitar and writes with me, and he plays guitar in my band, and we used to go online all the time, and MySpace was a thing, you know. And
I remember MySpace.
Every time we'd get together, we found all these bands, and we'd sit together, and one of us would lay on the bed, the other guy would go through these bands he found on MySpace, and we'd play songs to each other, and it was all super like pop punk and indie back then, you know, for us. But and his dad was the first person I ever saw really like play guitar and sing, and I just was so moved by that, and he put us on like rock and roll music, you know, like, and I just wanted to be like Jesse's dad. I was like, dude, yeah. Rodney Hampton, still my hero, still the best guy
in
the world.
So good.
And over the years, even as I've been pursuing this, you know, he's always given me a place to call home, or to go if I need work, or to go if I need somewhere to stay. And Jesse's sister was in musical theater, got me and him into musical theater after she left high school. And that was like really the big one for me. Our first show we ever did, I maybe had like two lines, you know, but I was just like, this is what I want to do. And I remember when I told my mom I didn't want to do football anymore. I'm like, done with that. I'm not going to make it being 5'7" anyway, you know. It's just not an American football. You got to be like 6'5", right?
Yeah.
You know,
6'5" up and wide.
Yeah, yeah. So it just wasn't going to happen. And I told my mom, I said, I think I want to do music. I want to do musical theater. I love, this is what I want to be. And I remember she pulled out all my things, all my trophies, all the magnets she had over the years, the jerseys, and she's just crying. She's like, why would you do this to us? We put all of our life into football. We're a football family. You know, and sure enough, it was hard for her to adjust to, but she came and saw my first, you know, musical theater performance and saw my first two little lines, and she was just like, baby, I am so sorry. This is where you belong.
Oh,
my little
so
star,
good.
You know. And
and what does she think now? What does she think of you
she
now?
She is the proudest.
She's the football.
Yeah, she's proud. I mean, and if I break my leg here doing this, man, that's pull up a couch, still got a job, you know what I mean?
So I wanted to talk to you because I love that you were in a couple of bands too, Wild Heart, and was it Eris? Am I saying that right?
Yeah,
what kind of music was that?
So Wild Heart, we had a couple songs out. It was kind of more maybe country, kind of rock, alternative-y kind of sound.
Mm-hmm.
And Eris, we did it was kind of more of a prog rock metal, like my last little shot at like metal before, because I was in bands like that forever, and I still scratch the itch, you know, I want to get that out, but I don't know if
I can have a side hustle once the album goes gangbusters and stuff like that.
Once Warner's like, yeah, you can do whatever you want, you know, but as of right now, I understand why we have to focus on one thing, but if it was up to me, I'd put out everything. I'd just let it go, you know?
Well, I mean, the internet, it's been your friend. I mean, you started, was it 4 years ago? Was it your first cover?
Yeah, June 25th of 2019, Michael Jackson's Rock With You.
Is that when everything changed, when you saw the views just start ticking along?
Yeah, I mean, and it also was like, I didn't ever intend on doing the, you know, doing the YouTube approach. It was just 10 years from his death, so I was like, let's do this song to kind of pay homage to the greatest, you know, and it just started going, and we were just like, okay, yeah, let's fucking do it.
Yeah.
And we just kept doing it every Tuesday since, and it was so strange, because we, in June 25th of 2019, we started the covers, and December 24th of 2019, we signed to Warner Records, and changed our life forever. So it was like, dude, a day less than 6 months or something like that, just
That's unbelievable.
Happened, yeah.
So between the football, the musical theatre, and even your metal bands, when was the first song that... Do you remember the first song you wrote that kind of made you think that you've got something here? This is not just mucking around, having a good time. There's actually something to this.
Yeah, I think so the first time I felt that way, me and, of course, Jesse and my dear friend Austin Clark and my bassist I still have, Christian, we were in a band called Elephants before... this became Teddy Swims, and a lot of those guys are still in that band, you know, in my band on stage and stuff. And but you could still find like our little kind of garage recorded album, Compassionate Release by Elephants. If it's ELEFVNTS, which is like a goofy spelling of it. I don't know why we were just think we were edgy or something at the time.
Yeah, making it very hard for people to find it.
Yeah,
on the internet.
It was so stupid. I don't know why. I was like, this is a cool spelling. No, it's like so not playing that. Like not the way.
Make it easy for us. We're simple people.
Exactly.
You know, and now even go when I go look up Elephants, like the band name, I'm like, there's not even a band with a regular spelling. Like, why didn't I check that first before I was like, what if it was FVNTS? Like,
yeah, I know.
I felt like that was the first time out of all the years that we had been writing and working together and trying to get a band off the ground that it actually happened. And I still love a lot of those songs. I still like listen to them. They are you know, that's when we finally figured out like, okay, we are like capable of.
Yeah,
and I think we were all just out of high school by then too, and so it wasn't like you got a D on your report card, you can't be in the band anymore it used to be. You know what I mean?
But does it feel like it has? Does it feel like a snowball that it hasn't really? You haven't had a chance to stop, because Rolling Stone even it called you an artist you need to know. Like, are you looking at that stuff? Are you reading that stuff? Is that added pressure to you? Is this just fueling you to keep going? How does it feel, or is it sometimes different every day?
You like, know, that is it's just like a different thing every day. I feel like though, to bounce off that, I do feel the pressure a lot. For some reason, when nobody like cared about what we were doing at all, I just was so sure of my shit. Like I knew I knew I was like the chosen one or something, you know. I was like, one day I'm gonna be the biggest artist in the world. And then like people started buying in and saying, oh, you're doing great, and like your emotions matter. And then I was like, oh shit, I don't know if I like, you know. I just kind of started getting way too precious all of a sudden, you know. And I was so never afraid to fail, and like I say failure is my best friend. And now that it's people care, I somewhere along the line I like got like switched to where I was like became precious, and daily trying to figure out how to be just like, don't compare and don't like try to do the good thing and just do what feels natural and right. And so
is it hard though to not compare? Because I read this thing, I was gonna say, because I read this thing ages ago about like, if you used to be the best guitar player in your suburb, right, you didn't really have anyone, like everyone just thought you were amazing, and then you probably were catapulted over here to do other things. If you're a 14-year-old playing guitar now, you're comparing yourself to billions of people. Like, you're looking at and you're kind of thinking to yourself, well, I'm no good, and you throw the guitar away. Like, do you ever feel like sometimes you've really got to shut off a lot of the time, especially when you're working on an album and working on yourself?
Yeah, I feel like it's such a negative thing to compare yourself to.
But we all do it though. Yeah, we all know so we shouldn't, easy. But we all do it.
Uh-huh. And there's no way to cut that off. There's no way to turn that off. And I think there's something about it though that I love, that I try to get the good thing from that side of it, where feeling like, it's gonna sound weird to say this, but feeling like I'm never enough is like kind of what I love about the drive and the hunger to keep going.
Yeah.
But it also is probably the most negative thing in my life as well. You know what I mean? That comparison is also eating me alive, but fueling fire.
You know, you say that with such a lovely smile on your face. It's eating me alive, guys.
Yeah, but it's also fueling that fire. I want to be the best, you know, but sometimes like you sit there and you're like, what am I really like? What am I really striving for here? Because like I could, everyone's like, it's all gonna be, you know, like I'm not gonna be like remembered forever. I don't know if that's even what I'm looking for. So what the fuck am I doing? You
know? Well, right now you're doing my podcast. I can tell you that.
I wouldn't trade it for the world. You know, I'm like nowhere I'd rather be.
Yeah,
but I just what, like, I don't know, I feel like at some point I told myself,
what's that
like,
imposter syndrome? Everyone's got it. I've got it in here. I've been doing this for 20 years, and I still sometimes think like, when am I going to be found out? Like when someone gonna knock on the door,
knew it.
The FBI there with your sunglasses on, like, get in the van.
That's him, officer.
But it must. Does it feel complete? Like, can all that go away when you walk out on stage? Because I mean, not only have you done huge, you've done huge shows, right?
That's the spot, man. That's the.
If only that was all the time.
that is the spot. I like getting on stage. That's the one spot where I don't have anxiety or insecurities or anything. I could just be like, I always make this reference that it's like, I feel like that's my home and my living room. And I get to just walk around butt naked in my living room. And if you don't like it, you don't walk into my house. You know what I mean? And so I feel like it's
especially because your name's out the front. So that really is your house for that night.
Yeah. You know, and so I feel like I get to, and I get to be there and just totally be myself and totally be free. And not that I'm not insecure there, but it's that like, I get to be insecure and I get to feel whatever the hell I want to feel.
Yeah.
Right, man? And it's just that freedom, I think, is really why I being on stage and sharing that and the songs you already hate hearing people sing them back to you and you being like, damn, maybe this was a decent song after all. Maybe my feelings weren't worth nothing. You know, sometimes I feel like, man, that ex-girlfriend really won because I'm still singing about that girl, you know?
Well, I think that in fairness, though, Dolly Parton, when she sings Jolene, I saw her at Glastonbury and she said, that bitch bought me 4 houses.
Yeah. So,
you're still singing about it, but you
Where's
still
that
win.
Bitch now? You know
yeah, that's right. What about, because the new album's not out until 15th of September, so you're obviously here now. How are you playing some new songs on this tour?
We got a couple of them on there. We will be doing some things I'll never know.
Yeah, great.
Of course, Lose Control, it's out.
And, yes.
We have another one on our set list now called Goodbyes, which is Goodbyes Been Good to You on the album as well. And so we're trying them out, kind of getting our feet wet with them. But you know, it's also when we release the album, I don't you can't just throw them all into there either. So it's gonna kind of be like a slow burn on getting people comfortable and knowing the songs. But I feel like the overall experience of it and the way that people have been taking it has been like people are already singing Lose Control and every word to it and we were doing that when our Europe tour like it was like out for a week and people were just already eating it up, you know, and some things I'll never know, they won't have heard a word of it, and it just, you can hear like a pin drop in a crowd when you hear that song people are really connecting to. And it's I mean, people in live shows are just really the greatest A&R, you know? I go up there and I say, hey, can I try this out? And it's not too late to, like, take it off my album if you absolutely hate it. And if you absolutely hate it, like, please feel free to tell me it sucks. You guys are here. You're already, like, you already love me, obviously. So, I can totally fall on my face in front of you guys right now. And you guys, please let me know before I go to the next city and, you know, have my back, you know? And I feel like I'm so fortunate to have, like, a family of fans in my house and tell me this is great or I'm not really feeling that way, my dog.
That's what the comment section of the YouTube is all for you too. try to stay away from that. Where are you going to be on the 15th? What do you got planned? Are you going to? Do you know where you're going to be? Or is that for people behind the glass to tell you?
I think they. let's look it up. I think I'm in New York or something. I think so.
That's all right. You don't have to probably tell me. I just wondered if you had anything planned for when the album finally drops.
I definitely will celebrate in a way, but
you should be very proud.
Yeah, and I try to make sure I give myself more of those celebrations and like really celebrate them the right way and not just like, I don't know, like I'm learning how to celebrate something and as a win and love myself and that win rather than like celebrating it as I don't feel like I deserve this and just going on a mean bender.
That doesn't sound too bad, though. Before we let you go, though, we like to ask what you'd like to or who you'd like to introduce us to. Like, is there someone you're listening to? There's someone you're loving at the moment, music-wise, that you just need to pass on to us?
Yeah. I mean, my best bud in the world, man, Alan Stone. He's the one. He's the greatest. He's the greatest there is. He's the greatest on the planet right now. Alan Stone, anything in the world by him right now. It's just, he is my hero. I've seen him probably 10 times live before we were lucky enough to call him one of my greatest friends. And Alan Stone has the best voice on the planet right now, I believe.
Unreal. Before I let you go, though, I have to ask, What was your first tattoo?
So I had I had right here on my left bicep, you know, the normal spot everybody goes for. I had at 16, I had gotten this tattoo, and it was a cross, and it was a little banner with my last name in it, my real last name, Dimmesdale, and another banner that said "Established 1992." It was so corny, bro. It was so corny, and so you know, of course, I was like in the locker room, like cut the sleeves off my shirt, like I'm fucking yad it up, my bro, and of course, by the time I was 18, I was like, fuck, I'm such an idiot. Yeah. Why would I? So I would say, not that I'm the one to give any advice on tattoos to anyone. I got carried away, so don't listen to my advice. But maybe 16-year-olds don't make tattoo decisions, lifelong decisions at 16. You know what I mean?
What was your last one then?
The last one I just got was, I just got my pup back in London.
Nice.
Yeah, my dog, and which, you know, it's been tough. He just passed a couple of days ago, too, so.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
I was lucky I got to be home for a couple of days, but I love him so much. And that's my boy, man.
That's your boy.
It's for him.
Well, as I said, I've tried everything but therapy, part one. As I said, I got to listen to it, and you should be so proud, man. It's such a good record.
I'm getting there.
Lift the road. Push your boy.